Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliotti here again on another awesome Sunday night. And this is the Gift of Grace, where we read and teach God's Word, and we proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. So I hope you've had an awesome week. The last couple of weeks on the show here, we've been talking about Galatians chapter 1 and how Paul was amazed that the people in Galatia had turned away from the gospel so fast in such a short period of time. And he begins the chapter by reminding them that the gospel is the fact that Jesus came as Messiah, that he shed his blood for our sins, and he delivers us not only from our sin, but Paul says from the present evil age. And this is God's will. This is the plan of salvation, which has existed since before anything was created. It's always good to keep that in mind, because in the book of Revelation, it tells us that the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. In other words, the plan of salvation was made before anything was created. So it leads to these inevitable questions of, well, God knew Adam and Eve were going to fall. Yes. He knew that we were all going to be defective sinners. Yes. He knew we were going to be in a rebellion. Yes. But he made a plan by which that problem can be solved. The so-called sin problem can be solved. And it's a unique plan. It's a one-of-a-kind plan. There is only one way. There are not 52 ways or even two ways. There's one way. And he reminds them that it's by what Messiah Jesus did on the cross and the grace that comes from that, which forgives our sins, delivers our sins. But last week, that was kind of the first week, and then last week we talked about how, starting in verse 6 of Galatians 1, how he marveled that they had turned away from the gospel so quickly to another gospel, which isn't another gospel. And I would, rather than redoing all that, because pretty soon the time will be ticking away, it is in fact already ticking away, but if you go to www.giftofgraceministries, that's Gift of Grace Ministries, and look under the tab called Radio Show, you can listen to last week's show and the show before that to put this one in better context, because this, of course, is kind of a continuation. I don't know if we're going to do Galatians much longer, but this is a very important passage because of where we live today. In our time, as I said last week, the gospel's been hijacked, and nobody even knows what the gospel is anymore. It's anything from recycling and global warming to I can do whatever I want because I make my own truth. So Paul says that's not the case. That's not the situation at all. And he goes on to add that if we or an angel come and preach another gospel, we're to be accursed. We're to be accursed. Verse 9, he says, as we have said before, and now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. So in other words, don't change the gospel. Don't change what's commonly called the purity of the gospel. Don't add things to the gospel. Don't take away things to the gospel. Don't think that by your intellect or by your reasoning or by your common sense, you can improve on what the gospel is. Or perhaps think that, well, after all these years, God's changed his mind. He doesn't really still believe all that stuff. And that's kind of a weird plan of salvation, don't you think? I'm sure he's overlooking everything now, because after all, we've gotten with it. We've evolved, and he's going to have to kind of get with it as well. Because after all, we don't believe in a kingdom of God. We believe in it's a democracy that we can do whatever we want, and we can have a vote on what's right and what isn't. Paul's kind of prefiguring our time as well in all of this. He's shocked. You know, the actual language means the gospel has been perverted in a very short amount of time. They've turned away from it, and they were turning away from the simplicity of grace. Remember that one of the greatest chapters in the Bible is Ephesians chapter 2. They were saved by faith. We're saved by grace through faith and not by works, so that no one can boast. And so they were called in grace. They understood the sacrifice of Jesus, Yeshua, on the cross. And now many of them had turned away from these blessings because they had been influenced by other teachers. And it happened quickly. This turning away, and the Greek that's used there is in the present tense. In other words, it was still going on. It was an ongoing activity. You know, later Paul's going to write to the Thessalonians and say, there's going to be a great falling away at the end. A great falling away. And then the man of sin will be revealed, who's the Antichrist. Well, if you look back on what's happened in the church and in society over, say, the past, 10 or 15 years, you're going to see the great falling away. Churches that had three services that were full now have one service that is half full. Preachers who used to preach the gospel are now encouraging people who live in abnormal, bizarre lifestyles and saying everything is okay, everything is fine. And the gospel has been perverted. Now, Paul says when we hear teachings like that, we're to declare those people accursed. Even if an angel comes and does it, we're to declare them accursed. Because that isn't the gospel of grace. It isn't the gospel of salvation. It's, as he puts it, another gospel that isn't a gospel at all. And we could spend the next 6 hours talking about all these different things that are going on. And like last week, I put the blame squarely on the church. Squarely on the church. Because the gospel is not being preached. And according to what Paul says, we are to declare them anathema, accursed. So the Greek means it's going on in the present tense. And the falling away, the Greek means it's the same as a military retreat. So let's get out of here. We want to get away from this gospel because after all, we want to do the things we want to do. I don't care about two people of the same sex being married, and I don't care about people living together that aren't married, and we don't care about changing people's genders, and we don't care about immorality, because after all, there is no such thing as immorality anymore. And when the gospel talks about repenting from sin, that has lost its meaning completely. In our time, no one talks about sin. No one talks about repentance to the point now where you have very high placed people in churches wondering if there's even a hell, wondering if there's even a hell, whether there's just universal salvation. And there's only maybe a handful of people in hell that are just like total degenerates. I mean, this is what we've come to. So Paul was upset about this. Paul was upset. In fact, when you think about it, he was more upset about this problem of the gospel being hijacked, the gospel being changed, the gospel being perverted, than he was about the moral problems that he wrote about to the church in Corinth. In fact, in this letter to the Galatians, he doesn't have the usual thanksgivings and blessings and all that stuff that the other letters have. Even though he wrote to, for example, the church in Corinth is a good example, They were disunited. They had all kinds of moral problems. They had all kinds of leadership problems. And Paul writes very nicely to them. But to the Galatians, he's very stern. And we're going to see it. I don't know if we're going to see it or not, but you know, I hope you know. And if you don't know, that's just a total shame. But in chapter 3, he's going to say, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who's changed your mind? Paul was more upset about this. He was easier on the immorality that went on in some of those churches than he was on this theological problem that was going on in the church in Galatia, because they were changing the gospel. They were changing the gospel. You know, the modern church says, oh, Jesus accepted everyone. Well, that's true. Absolutely, he accepted everyone. But he never, never told them it was okay to stay the way they were. He never, never, never said, you're doing great. You're okay. Everything's cool. Just keep doing what you're doing. He said, don't do that anymore. Repent. Come into the kingdom. Don't do that anymore. Follow me. Be my disciple. Not be a Sunday morning spectator or a fan or I don't even know what other terms to use. He doesn't want those things. He wants followers. He wants disciples. And as I always talk about the 57-minute crowd that goes to shuffles in and shuffles out, they are not even getting the truth of the gospel when they are there for the 57 minutes. So Paul was very upset about this. Now, in the case of the Galatians, they had a different problem than our modern problem. They had these people coming in that were called Judaizers. They were talking about adding works to the gospel, adding law to the gospel, making a more works-oriented salvation than what he had introduced as a gospel of grace. And he says, this is not another gospel. There was only one gospel. Any other, quote, gospel, unquote, that's preached is not true. After all, if a gospel is based on more laws and more rules, that's not good news. That puts you right back into the old covenant where you had the 613 laws and you had to follow each one of them exactly. Because if you violated one, it was the same as violating them all. And Paul says, we're not going to go back to that. You're not to go back to that. Jesus paid for that with his blood. That gospel is not good news, and it overturns the real gospel. Finding some other way to heaven perverts the gospel. Now, there were false teachers that had gone in. You know, Jesus warned about false teachers. Paul warned about false teachers. John warned about false teachers. Peter warned about false teachers. The false teachers were everywhere. In the time, and it wasn't just in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, for example, the prophet Jeremiah went through Jerusalem preaching that judgment was coming soon. Everyone at the temple, the priests were doing wrong, the leadership was doing wrong, the people had fallen away, and he said, judgment is coming. And the priests said, Jeremiah, you're a party pooper. We don't believe any of this. We're the chosen people. We're the priests. We got the temple here. We got all the stuff. God is not going to destroy this place. And at the same time, false prophets came in. You can read the book of Jeremiah. It's awesome. False prophets came in and said, everything is fine. God loves you. You're the chosen people. Everything's going along just fine. It's the kind of old, I'm okay, you're okay. And these false teachers, false prophets were misleading many until finally destruction came from the north and the city was destroyed and the temple was destroyed. In fact, God destroyed his own house, not once, but twice. So everyone has to keep that in mind when they think, oh, God's not going to bring judgment on his own church. God's not going to bring judgment on his own people. Well, as a matter of fact, he is doing that as we speak, and we're just at the beginning of it. So this is not good news. This overturns the real gospel. This overturns the true gospel. So what's happening in Galatia is people had accepted Christ, but now we're being told they had to do the law. The Judaizers came in and said, oh, you Gentiles believe in the Jewish Messiah, you believe in Yeshua as Messiah, that's great, but now you have to do the law of Moses. And once you do the law of Moses, then you can follow the Jewish Messiah. So these teachers, false teachers, were responsible for this. And it caused a lot of disunity. It caused a lot of disheartenment. It caused their morale to go down. Because if you're a Gentile who had accepted the Lord as your Savior, and then you heard this kind of talk, you say, well, wait a minute. This is not how it was explained to me. This is not, I don't know what's going on here. And you got discouraged. Paul accepted only the gospel of grace. He had been a Pharisee. You know, he was Pharisee of Pharisees, Hebrew of Hebrews. No one was advancing more than he was. No one was more zealous for the law than he was. Now he's telling the Galatians, don't mix the law with the gospel of grace. Because the cross is the center. The cross is the center. And that's why he adds, even if we or an angel comes to preach a different gospel, we're to be accursed. He's so confident that the gospel that he preaches is the truth that he says, if you hear anything else, you immediately declare them cursed. Even himself, he says, even if I come back, you know, if he goes out and trips and falls or somebody hits him over the head or he hits his head on a rock and he gets disoriented and confused and he comes and preaches a different gospel, they're supposed to declare him accursed. And he's not talking about minor points. You know, he's not talking about it's okay to have some differences of opinions. It's okay to debate scripture. It's okay to have even very vigorous debates of does this mean this or does this mean that or could it mean this, could it mean that. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a whole different plan of salvation. And he says, that is what's been perverted. That's been the change that's come. That's what's not acceptable. Because everything else takes away from the cross. Laws and rules take away from the cross. Additional things that, quote, have to be done take away from the cross. Paul says even his wisdom takes away from the cross. Even his use of language can take power away from the cross. And that's why he says, I only preach Christ and Christ crucified. I only know Christ and Christ crucified. I don't come with the wisdom of words because that robs the cross of its power. It's not about our wisdom. So he's not talking about minor points. He's talking about they're setting up a different gospel which take your mind away from Jesus and away from the cross and away from the blood. And whoever teaches it, whatever power comes, even if an angel comes, you're to walk away from them and declare them anathema. Because what they're saying is the cross is not sufficient. The cross is not sufficient to save you. You have to do some other things too. So you have to know more than the plan of salvation that starts in Genesis 3:15, goes to the cross and goes to the end of the whole scripture. You have to know more than that. You must have some more wisdom than there is in that whole plan. And, you know, he goes on to say in verse 10, you know, I should say in 9, you know, he repeats what he says in 8. As we have said before, I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. So 8 and 9, 9 basically repeats it. This is how sure he is of this, and this is how important he thinks this is. In verse 10, he says, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through revelation of Jesus Christ. So, what is he saying here? He emphasizes that the gospel comes directly from Jesus. The gospel comes directly from God. It is God's plan. No one taught him the gospel. You know, it takes you back to Caesarea Philippi when Jesus says, who do men say that I am? And there's all these things go around, you know, John the Baptist, the prophet, Elijah. And when Peter makes his great profession of faith, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus does not say to Peter, wow, Peter, that was awesome. I didn't think you would figure that out on your own. I'm really impressed that you thought this out. You must have done some studying. You must have gone back over the scrolls. I didn't even think you were paying attention. No. He says, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. My Father in heaven revealed this to you. The gospel is revealed. It just can't be taught. So, Paul's talking about the divine nature of the call and the divine nature of the preaching that allows the Holy Spirit to act on the person who's listening. And he says, I'm not here to please men. I'm not here to make you all feel good. You know, today in the church, you want people to leave feeling good. Yeah, really good. You have some nice music. You have a nice entertaining sermon. You tell everybody how awesome they are. And then when everybody leaves, they go, wow, I feel good now. Let's go out to brunch and let's go home and relax. Feel good now. No, he says, I'm not here to please men. He didn't care what people thought about him. He wasn't there to flatter the Gentiles. He wasn't there to keep the Jewish religious leaders, even though they professed to be, even if they professed to be believers. He wasn't there to make them like him better. He wasn't there to make them feel good about him. He says, if I did that, I wouldn't be a bondservant. I wouldn't be a doulos. Doulos is the Greek word, a bondservant. Essentially a slave. Many times in the ancient world, these were people that served somebody in order to work off a debt. He says, I'm a bondservant. And what's the debt? Jesus had saved him. What was the debt? Jesus had revealed the gospel to him. Now he's a bondservant. He's a slave. In our world, we don't want to be slaves. We just want to, you know, kind of go to church, have some fun, enjoy ourselves. And maybe next Sunday we'll come back. Maybe we won't. But if it's more than 57 minutes, I'm not going to be involved much longer. It really should be 45 minutes tops, but okay. You know, I'll give this guy another 10 minutes, but he really does talk too much. You know, Paul was not there to please people. He wasn't there to gratify men at the expense of the gospel. So this proves he was truly an apostle. You know, in 1 Corinthians, he says, I was called in a different way, but I was called. I'm an apostle by the grace of God. I don't really deserve to be called an apostle, but through his grace, I am what I am. I wasn't called like the others. I persecuted the church. And then he adds, but I've done more than all of them. He was a doulos. He was a bondservant because of how he was preaching the gospel. So he wasn't there to please men. He was there to be a doulos. If your priest or your pastor or your messianic rabbi or whatever you have in your tradition is there to make everybody feel good, I would seriously consider going to a different place. Because their job is not to make you feel good. Their job is to make you disciples. Oh, I know the music is already playing. I still got more stuff in my notes. Well, I have to finish this next week. Well, thanks for listening and join us again next week on The Gift of Grace, where we read and teach God's Word. We proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. Have a great week. Mm-hmm.